Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's the 6th annual sports reporting workshop here at Vanderbilt University. Our next guest, Buster Olney, he's the keynote speaker of this, and for good reason. He knows a thing or two about this business and the behind-the-scenes aspects of getting into the business, sports reporting, and much more. Buster, great to have you on the show, and thanks for hosting us out here with the College Sports Institute. It's been great.
It is great, and every year, I love coming here. It re-energizes you, especially with spring training right around the corner, because you get a lot of great questions, and you draw on the energy of all the folks in the room, and the questions that they pose, and the issues that they raise. I love coming here every year.
Paul and I, Chad was out today, we were discussing Mariano Rivera, and whether or not he would be first ballot, not just first ballot, but 100% unanimous Hall of Famer. And my argument was he absolutely should be, but I didn't expect him to be because everyone points to Babe Ruth and others who were not unanimous. Why was Mariano the first to receive the unanimous vote?
I think for a few reasons. One, he obviously was a terrific player. He was a transcendent closer. I mean, you think about this. He threw 141 innings in the postseason, and he allowed 2 home runs. He had a 0.70 ERA. And when, I remember in the late 90s talking with Chipper Jones, talking with John Smoltz, and talking about the Yankee success versus the Braves success. And those guys would tell me, the difference between the two teams, they had Rivera and we didn't. Otherwise, maybe we're the team winning. But I think a lot of it, why this happened, and you referenced all the past votes. I mean, Jackie Robinson, 76%, I think, that he got on ballots. Ted Williams wasn't close to being unanimous. Hank Aaron wasn't close to being unanimous. Willie Mays wasn't close to being unanimous. And I think the difference is social media, that the pressure now on the voters to account for their decisions publicly, I think puts it in a lot different situation than what we saw, 40 years ago, where you could be a racist voter who didn't want to vote for Hank Aaron or Willie Mays. And you weren't accountable for your vote. And I think that's had a big impact to the degree that, the baseball writers have asked for total transparency, to have all the writers have to reveal their ballots. And the Hall of Fame is basically saying no, because we know the sort of backlash these guys will face. And we're asking them to do a service for us. And we don't want to necessarily put them in a position where they're just going to get hammered. But this year was the first time where I think we saw the writers were like, okay, you can't find a hole in Mariano Rivera's case.
Should some of those voters age out? Not age out necessarily, but there are some who covered baseball for a good while but don't anymore. And if you become a general assignment columnist or shift from MLB to NFL or whatever, it seems like you're not the right person to me to be one of the 425 or 475 casting a ballot anymore.
I don't think writers should be involved in that at all. As I thought about it, and I voted for years, and about 4 years ago I stopped, and it's for various complicated reasons, but part of my thought was too, especially as the steroid era guys were coming up, that the nature of the voting and the questions being asked in the voting to me changed dramatically. And look, as a reporter, it's not my job to make news, right? And it's my job to report the news, and yet as time has gone on, it's the writers who become the bottleneck, the more morality police for a lot of the Hall of Fame questions. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, Bonds and Clemens are members in good standing. They work for teams. As far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, they're members of good standing. They put them on the ballot every year, unlike P. Rose. It's the writers who, 40% of the writers, who are essentially making the news. That's not a place for writers to be.
We pause in our conversation with Buster Olney. We're here at Vanderbilt today. And I've been passed an email that went out from Candace Lee of the Vanderbilt Athletic Administration. that has been sent to the athletic staff at Vanderbilt. A difficult day for Vanderbilt. It's with a heavy heart, she writes, that I share the unfortunate news that David Williams just passed away at Vanderbilt Medical Center. Please keep his family and loved one in your thoughts and prayers. He just went off the job a few days
ago. February 1st.
Officially. That's an email that is being circulated to the athletic administrative staff at Vanderbilt from Candace Lee. So our thoughts to David Williams' family. Very sad. He just visited with us in studio not long
ago. Just a few weeks ago.
And you hate to hear it, and it's always especially striking right when it happens, right when somebody retires. So a sad day here at Vanderbilt, and we're so sorry to hear that news. And we will forge ahead, as is the job here. On the baseball side of things, Buster, there's a lot of talk about rule stuff. Mandatory DH for the NL, mandatory three-batter appearance for a relief pitcher. What of these new ideas that are floating out there do you think have legs and would help the game?
The designated hitter is absolutely inevitable, and it has been for a while, much for the same reason that Buster Posey, the collision that happened with him, you had general managers say, that's crazy that we have a valued asset that would potentially lose for years to come because of an outlier play. Slides at second base. You know, Chase Utley slide. The same sort of thing happened. And last summer, I think when Masahiro Tanaka suffered a double hamstring pull running the bases, this is a terrific athlete who's fully prepared. And I wrote a column the other day. It's like asking a chemist to be a logger for a day if you're an American League pitcher. And so there absolutely is legs to the idea that we're going to have a DH. There's no question baseball is very unhappy with the trend we've seen with all the relief pitchers. That's what that rule is, where if you bring in a pitcher, he has to face at least three batters. And I think those are good things. I think the overarching positive we saw the other day, at least the two sides are talking. The relationship between the union and baseball management right now is the worst that I've seen it since the mid-90s in terms of how much they're talking. Players very unhappy with what's going on with free agency, with players, in their opinion, not getting paid.
Mookie Betts has been an incredible story nationally, and here in Nashville, it's been so much fun to follow his career, and especially this last season. And there's something about his game and the way he plays it that brings me back to my childhood and why I love watching baseball so much. There's a joy to it, and there's a joy to him being able to do everything in the game and do it well. What's it been like for you covering Mookie Betts and his story coming from Nashville?
So cool. And I was actually there the day he was called up to the big leagues. His first game was at Yankee Stadium. And I remember walking away thinking, boy, that's a kid who has presence. Like, you could feel it right away. And his comfort level, and what I came to learn in the years that followed, is his absolute sincere devotion to greatness. And hearing the stories from Red Sox people about how over the All-Star break, when, you know, some players are going to a beach someplace, some players are just getting away from it, he came back to Nashville. He's hitting in a cage here, trying to work out a swing, always asking questions of other players, veteran players, trying to figure out how he can improve in a certain way. Buck Showalter told me flat out, the former manager of the Orioles, he's the best right fielder I've ever seen.
Were you on the broadcast, the spring training game, where he was mic'd up in right field? That was such a great moment.
Yeah,
were you on that game?
I was not on that game, but we actually talked about it. We had a production meeting in Bristol the other day. Yeah, Tim Kirchner was on the broadcast, and Tim asked him a question, and the ball's hit, and Mookie sees the ball coming toward him and said, hold on, guys, I got to go get this ball. He's in the middle because they had mic'd him up in a spring training game, and he's now held up as the example, that moment of, boy, that's what we all need to get to in broadcast to humanize baseball player.
And I think he also said, well, I'm not going to get to this one, right as he hit it when he was running to the corner to track it down.
Buster, you have the forum coming up. Dig deeper with great questions. Interviewing essentials. That's the type of discussion and the ability to dig in as a aspiring journalist that all these students are, that you can get over this 3-day workshop. This is a very cool event that's now the 6th annual. No doubt there'll be a 7th annual. And we advise current students that are interested in this, look this up for next year. thank you for having us out here as a part of this workshop, and thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And my thoughts also, David Williams' family. He was,
yes.
He is such a great soul.